Hi there. Welcome to Just to Be Nominated, a podcast about movies distributed by Lee Enterprises. The show is hosted by me, Chris Lay, the podcast operations manager for Lee, with Bruce Miller, the editor of the Sioux City Journal, and Jared McNett, a reporter for the Globe Gazette in Mason City, Iowa. Last time you heard from us, we were sharing some of our favorite comfort movies that we turn to when times get tough. For this episode, we thought about all the athletic events that we're collectively missing out on, and we worked up our personal lists of our favorite sports movies. Be forewarned that the end of the episode got chopped off thanks to some technical problems, but we were winding down, so you're not missing much. Regardless, we're all still pretty bummed about it, and we're sorry. We'll put some links in the show notes to where you can stream all of the movies as of the day that the episode drops, so click on through and find them there. Anyway, here is the show.
Yeah. Well, let's talk sports. Hey, you guys must be big sports fans, right?
Yes. Kind of. I'm more... So this is interesting. When I grew up, like in North Carolina, there weren't any big sports teams in North Carolina outside of like, you know, college basketball is really big there. But like when I was a kid, we had like the Hornets, and that came like they were a brand new team when I was in elementary school. And so we never really had like a team that you rooted for. There wasn't any like hometown pride. And so I feel like I grew up just constantly. It's like I want a good underdog story. I want, you know, I want to watch something good, but I don't have the ability to get emotionally invested in sports where it's like if a team that I like loses, it's not going to ruin my night or my day, where I know a lot of people, that's a very different situation.
Chris, I have an important question for you.
Hit me.
As a kid, did you ever have a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket?
I did not. I don't think so. But I did have a couple of, what was it, like Target gave out these like locker, like stick up things that you could, you know, like full length, whatever posters of the players, Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues and like Alonzo Mourning, Del Curry, all that. Yeah. So they were,
I had one of those jackets with like the Hornet on the back dribbling the basketball when I was a kid. Cause I just love that like jacket so much. And now trying to find like an adult size one, those things are really expensive because that's like the like starter jacket to get of any of the like basketball starter jackets.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy how, I mean, I don't know what it was, but they managed to market their logo somehow very, very well.
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, Jared, why did you like the Hornets? That doesn't make sense.
Oh no, I didn't care about the team at all. I just really liked the jacket.
So it was just graphics that brought you in.
It was graphics, and then they still have a pretty good color scheme, I think, too.
Yeah. Well, the thing with the jacket was it was just a very, for a long time, that was like the top selling team, you know, jacket that Starter made. And I don't know why it was this big thing, but there was something about like the aquamarine and the teal and the logo, and I mean it was just everyone, you know, nationwide was buying these jackets as like fashion items, which was kind of crazy, but there you go.
Or gang colors, maybe
you
didn't,
I don't know,
realize you were part of a gang. The graphic design gang, that's what it was.
Yeah. Having a gang with a logo that's just a hornet dribbling a basketball is not a very intimidating gang. That's like a West Side Story kind of gang.
Yeah. Yeah. If one of your members is Grandmama, as portrayed by Larry Johnson, then I think,
Well, so family matters. When you do watch sports, what kind of sports do you like to watch?
Me, in particular, even though, like, obviously I'm from Kansas City, so I'm a big, I wouldn't even necessarily say I'm the biggest football fan. I'm a big Chiefs fan at this point, and I really don't care about the other teams until the playoffs roll around. But I do care a lot about basketball, and because Kansas City doesn't have a team, I just ended up watching a lot of different teams. So the NBA in particular is probably my biggest, best interest in terms of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although no basketball movies on my list, I will say.
So, Chris, what do you watch sports too, or are you like, eh?
I mean, I I watch sports. I like sports. I like watching, you know, Packers games and stuff where I can, which is nice. But I don't know. I mean, I just don't get like super passionate about it. I've been, to like a handful of UW games here in Madison. But nothing too crazy. So,
yeah, I'm the fair weather sports fan who comes in at the end, you know, for the Super Bowl or for the Masters or something like that. It's like the rest of it, I really don't care.
Yeah. Well, Super Bowl, I guess we'll have one. We'll see. But the Masters is it canceled or just did it get rescheduled, I think?
It's still kind of, up in the air, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think about this year, the majority of 2020 is just going to have all these asterisks attached to it. You know, all the sports numbers are going to have, you know, asterisks. The Summer Olympics with all of like the athletes that are possibly going to age out of their abilities in the course of a year by the time that it's, you know, set, or all the people who had been training, you know, for the past 4 years that now it's like their whole rhythm is like screwed up. So are the records that are going to be set, are they going to be, you know, as valid in a year as they would be if it was done now? I mean, it's all these weird little footnotes that are going to have to get added to the record books. And I mean, politically as well, going down the line. So, yeah.
2020, we didn't think was going to be that kind of a year, but it is that kind of a year. And maybe it makes us appreciate the earlier ones. And we look back and we say, wow, look what we had.
Yeah.
When this I was looking at sports movies, I realized, came to the realization that boxing movies tend to be better than any other sport. They turn out to be a better movie. And I wonder why that is.
Well, I bet we'll get into it pretty soon because I'm certain at least one of us, if not all three of us, probably has a boxing movie somewhere on the
list. But isn't that weird that those, is it because it's the drama built in or what is that?
I think so because it's naturally, like the competition is naturally set up. It's one person against another person. And usually in boxing movies too, there's obviously always a lot of inner turmoil going on too. Plus, you know, they're just easier to do because you don't have as big of a cast necessarily if it's just one boxer.
I think it gives you a much more simplistic frame to put a lot of plot and character development into, and then you have like the natural, you know, rhythms of the actual match itself or multiple matches that go into it, which you know, can allow for some really cool cinematography decisions and all that. I've got one boxing movie that made my short list, but did not make the top five for me. We can talk about that once we get into it, because I would imagine that maybe one of you guys has it on there.
And I think another reason too, maybe, is that like when movies were first really kind of coming into their own, boxing along with baseball was like the biggest sport in the country. So, obviously early on, there were like a lot of like cheapo, like boxing and like wrestling movies too that were made. So that probably has something to the kind of like past history of boxing movies being such a big thing back when boxing was such a big sport. So,
yeah. It's the sweet science.
Why then is golf often a comedy?
Well, do we want to go ahead and get started with the list? Because number five on my list is Happy Gilmore.
You think Happy Gilmore better than Caddyshack?
Absolutely. And part of that has to do with my age, obviously, because like when I was growing up is like when a lot of those Adam Sandler movies like that were coming out. But yeah, that's my first pick, my number five. I think probably the reason golf movies end up being comedies is because golf is such a stuffy and like dry sport. It works really well to just throw all of that out the window and make it as zany and like absurd as possible. I mean, in Happy Gilmore, you have like people getting eaten by alligators and like fights breaking out on mini putt like golf courses, and it's and the guy from Jaws, like, having a nail in his head. It's just, like, even by Adam Sandler standards, it's, like, lunacy the whole way through. And that playing out on a golf course is just, like, magical.
So that is on your list.
Yeah, that's my number five, yeah.
It did not make my list, but I did recently rewatch it. And for unrelated, whatever, just natural, recreational viewing. And man, it holds together. It is really excellent. I very much enjoy it. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I would have put Caddyshack on there, but maybe I've seen it too many times and I know all the lines. So that's probably why I like that better as a golf movie, but I'll go with it. But I had no golf movies on my top five.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was your first? What is your number five, Bruce?
Number five, Breaking Away.
Ooh, all right.
I really liked that. I thought it was a great kind of. We saw so many of those coming of age films in other venues, but that was a really cool way of kind of showing that. Mm-hmm. And you just buy in with those kids. Now you see the four guys played out in how many other movies? But I love Breaking Away, and I thought that was a good top fiver.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, I still haven't gotten around to seeing that one, but I know, all the good stuff around it, and yeah,
that director Peter Yates also made was one of my favorite movies from the 70s, The Friends of Eddie Coyle. It's like a really good crime movie with Robert Mitchum as the lead character, and like you watch that movie and you can see that Quentin Tarantino like aped a lot of stuff for Jackie Brown from that movie, including the name of the character Jackie Brown. So if you want like a really good underrated gritty 70s crime movie, that's one worth checking out.
Nice. We're getting a twofer off this one.
Yes.
Chris, what's number five?
Number five for me is Basketball. The
Matt and Trey.
Yep, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the guys who created South Park. And then it's them together doing basically their version of like a Zucker Brothers movie. It's directed by David Zucker. And there's even a couple of like airplane, kind of gags that they redo, but it's very, it's along the same lines of like the golf movies where it's, it's like rich people versus like poor people. Like
it's the same thing in Breaking Away too. They have the townies and the whatever. There are always these kind of two classes that square off.
Yeah.
Right. And that's which happens over and over again.
I mean, golf lends itself really well to that, like Jared was saying. But yeah, Basketball, rewatched. I mean, it's not going to win any awards, but it held up a lot better than I remembered it. And yeah, I really like it. So there you go. They really went all out. The production design on that movie, every single like physical gag they do and all the sets are... I mean, they really pulled out a lot of stops and spent a lot of money on this otherwise incredibly stupid film.
And some great cameos in that movie, including speaking of like Airplane and stuff like that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar popping up.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ernest Borgnine is really great in there, and it's one of the Al Michaels. It's one of the handful of movies where Bob Costas kind of takes the turns himself into a little bit of a punching bag. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how many car films are on Jared's list?
Just one, and actually it's my number four. So I'll go ahead and do it. It's probably going to be the most recent movie on any of these lists too. Ford versus Ferrari from just last year, which is right now it's not streaming anywhere, but it's available for pay on like most of those websites. I talked about it on our Oscars episodes. And one of the things I really appreciate about that movie, besides the fact that it's probably the racing movie where you can most feel like the sense of speed and just like danger, is that it's one of the only sports movies that I can call to mind that also just works really well as like a criticism of the way that corporations can kind of snuff out and kill creativity.
Yeah.
Which you definitely see in the tension between Christian Bale and the Ford company. So yeah, I just love that movie a lot. I kind of love that subplot of those internal battles that are going on. And like I said, Christian Bale and Matt Damon are both amazing in it, and it's just a really fun movie.
Yeah, and I mean the vast majority of the racing shots were all physical, physical or practically filmed. Yeah, it's just a great, great movie.
So, Chris, did you have a racing movie on your list?
I did not. But growing up in Charlotte, I definitely watched a bunch of racing movies. And yeah, could have done like Stroker Ace or Days of Thunder. But yeah, did not have any racing movies on there.
Could have done Death Race 2000.
Could have.
There
could
you
have.
Go.
I'm wondering, yeah, which one of us is going to do Rollerball with James Caan? Yeah, there's any number of ridiculous out there things that we could jump into. Yeah, the next one that I've got, I ended up going with a lot of baseball movies, interestingly enough. But the next one I've got is Big Fan.
Damn it.
Which was, did you have that one on your list? Or
I did, yes.
Yes. What number is that for you?
That's my next one, actually.
Ah, we can totally knock that out together then. It's written and directed by Robert Siegel, who was one of the, I want to say he was either an early contributor or one of the founding members of The Onion.
He was the editor-in-chief for a while, too.
For a long time. It stars Patton Oswalt. Robert Siegel also, he's the guy who wrote The Wrestler. Mm-hmm. Directed by Darren Aronofsky. Patton Oswalt is absolutely great in this movie. It is about a guy who is a really poor kind of, sad sack who
he's
calls
a man
in.
Child.
Yeah, absolutely is. And he works in like a toll booth he takes tickets at a parking deck and he gets obsessed. Or he is obsessed with the New York Giants, sees his favorite player out and about, kind of follows him, gets beat up by the player, and then it all just kind of unfolds from there. It's just really, really well done. It was, it's really dark, too. I mean, shows like fandom as just this completely just empty, aspect of the whole sports experience equation.
It's one of the better movies of the past decade or so about obsession too, because like you said, it is pretty dark and kind of scary, and then also just really sad and pathetic too. Just absolutely unrelentingly pathetic the way his character is kind of drawn and conceived, and there is something kind of to that with certain people. The reason some people become fans of things is because that's what they can kind of root around or put their emotional investments into, and this is just the worst possible conclusion of that in Patton Oswalt's character in the movie.
Yeah,
is it kind of like if you found the hornet's jacket later in life?
Yes.
I couldn't resist. Forgive me for being that person.
No, it's great.
Yes.
My fourth one on the list was Chariots of Fire,
an Olympic
film. And for me, it was my racing film because I really enjoyed that. And it showed how different the games were back in the day and what really it meant and what friendship was all about when it comes into that venue. I don't think any Olympic film today has any of that stuff in there. Yeah. You look at the other edge where it's I, Tonya, where they're like, plotting everything and trying to ruin somebody's life. But I like Chariots of Fire, and I was glad the year that it did win Best Picture, because I thought it was a good representation of that kind of world.
Yeah. There was, I'm trying to think, there really aren't that many. Well, did either of you guys see Eddie the Eagle about the downhill ski jumper?
Was it Taron Egerton or was it somebody else who was in that?
It was Taron Egerton, yeah.
Yeah,
which I mean, it was kind of a goofy movie, but based on a true to life person, and Taron Egerton Elton John fame. He was great in that, and I mean, it really kind of was made the thing that made the movie worthwhile. Really was just how charming Taron Egerton was.
Well, and you see things Cool Runnings, which was about the Jamaican bobsled team.
That's forever my go-to Winter Olympics movie.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then what was it called? Miracle on Ice? Or what was the one about the hockey team?
Yeah, Miracle. That was Miracle.
Yeah. So you see how you can see where they're going with those things. But, I don't know. I don't know. That's why I liked, I guess, because Chariots of Fire played it kind of straight, and it was an interesting story about more than just the game.
Yeah.
Beautiful score, beautiful music,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay,
very iconic.
Chris, what's number three on yours?
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, Jared, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add to Big Fan, because I didn't mean to steal your number four, but great minds, I guess.
It's good, but I thought maybe I was going to have some overlap somewhere, so I did have a freebie I'll just throw out as an alternate third. And that's Moneyball from 2011. I think I mentioned on our last episode, one of the things I love is sports movies that are about, like, the losers, but then also people that come up short, which Moneyball has, like, both of. Because Billy Beane's, like, career, both as a baseball player and then as a manager, had a lot of fits and starts to it, as you see in the movie. And then the same thing kind of too with the character that Philip Seymour Hoffman plays, which is he's the coach or the manager of the team.
It's like Art something, right?
Yeah, and it's really funny to watch because he's kind of like a manager that just has like all of his like power basically stripped away from him, and he kind of just has to go along with like his marching orders and kind of just has to him and haw and grunt out his frustrations. And I really love his part in that movie, and I still think it's probably one of Brad Pitt's like best performances in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Moneyball was on my list as well, and yeah, it is absolutely perfect. I mean, the script by Aaron Sorkin adapting the Michael Lewis, I think is the name of the guy who wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is, I mean, it's this perfect balance of, you know, like the behind the scenes business of baseball, as well as the fandom of it. And, you know, it has that psychological element like tied into it. And yeah, I agree. Brad Pitt is absolutely incredible in there. The real breakout, though, for me was Jonah Hill in that film.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like the first, you know, time after, you know, his early Judd Apatow, you know, kind of roles that he showed that he could, he had a lot of gears that people did not expect to see from him. It was absolutely incredible.
Did you have other baseball films on your list?
That was the only one that was on mine. Or even kind of floating around mine.
I had a few that I was considering.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched them again and I thought, But the one I do kind of like that still holds up, and it will be on my list, my top five, is League of Their Own.
Aha. Yes. Let's talk about A League of Their Own.
It to me, it gives you another whole dimension of a game and equal rights and all those kind of fun things. And I've used that line a million times. There's no crying in baseball. just because I think it has so many perfect elements. When League of Their Own came out, Lori Petty is one of the players in it, and she's from Sioux City. And as a result, we heard a lot about the making of the film while it was going on. And it gave us kind of an entree into that whole thing. Now, when you talk to people, and I think I must have talked to everybody since about what that was like, they said it was a real good bonding experience for them. And yeah, they all did turn on Madonna. She was not the favorite player of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, one of the things going into all these sports movies that I took for granted up until I just watched, you know, a handful of things all end to end was that a lot of really good sports movies, you need a strong ensemble.
Yeah.
You need to really fill out, you know, go all the way to the edges of the cast list of people that are going to be talented and make that work. I mean, Madonna she might've been, you know, a pain for her, you know, the people that were working with her, but she's perfectly cast in that role. And I mean, there's so many great. I mean, John Lovitz in there is great. David Strathairn, Gary Marshall, obviously, you know, Penny Marshall's dad, you know, kind of stunt cast, I guess. But
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell, Bill Pullman as the Gina Davis's husband. But it really is Gina Davis and Tom Hanks carry that whole film on their shoulders. And I guess that was like what that was one of the. I can't think of really any other example of Tom Hanks playing kind of a heel.
Road to Perdition, but there's not a lot of them.
Yeah,
it is amazing with those kinds of films where you do have like some budding newcomer who you haven't heard of or hasn't had a really big career, but makes a place with this. Then there's kind of a veteran actor in there that, you know, will bring in a certain crowd. There's somebody who's been iffy, but you're not sure, but they have a following. So mm-hmm. now it'd be like an internet kind of person. If you threw one of them in one of these films, you could see how they cast this very well because it's appealing to different audiences. And I think that's what they do with a lot of sports films is they figure out, what do I need in here to get us the audience we're looking for?
Yeah. And it really is. Penny Marshall is such an underrated director, I think. She did Big, then she did Awakenings, and then she did A League of Their Own, which is just a great, just shows such a, breadth of talent and what she was able to get, the right tone for these things that otherwise could have been really, disastrous films if they'd been done ever so slightly in any other direction. The only thing I will say that I don't feel like has aged very well is the score by Hans Zimmer, mainly because you just listen to that and you're like, ugh, I've heard this like a million times.
Well, and then can I throw another one out at you with the baseball things?
Yeah, go for it.
What about Kevin Costner? He kind of did a lot of these kinds of films. What's the deal with him?
You mean like, what was it, Bull Durham?
He was in Bull Durham. He was in Field of Dreams.
For the love of the game.
A lot of sports movies. You name them. Yeah. He's in them.
Tin Cup? Is that him? Yep. Tin Cup?
Yep.
That's four. Not Pushing 10. That was a different movie.
He had that other baseball one where he was the manager of it. It wasn't too many years ago.
The football movie.
Football.
Yeah.
You see what I mean, though? What is it with Kevin Costner in sports films?
I don't know. He just he seems like the kind of guy who'd, have on a baseball mitt or. He seems like that kind of rough around the edges, everyman sort of thing. I don't know.
Okay. I'm curious. But neither of you had a baseball film on your list.
Well, no, I had basketball, big fan, League of Their Own, Moneyball, all of which are kind of baseball movies. Moneyball was on my list, but none with Kevin Costner, mainly because I feel like I've seen Bull Durham. I liked it, but it's not one that I've come back to enough to warrant throwing on the list. Whereas all these other ones are ones that I'm not a big fan. Yeah. That's not one that I've put on just as like a comfort. No. You don't watch Big Fan to be uplifted. League of Their Own, Moneyball is another one.
These are kind of films that you would buy.
These are ones where, I would buy. I mean, they're ones that I think, I like watching for a lot of reasons. They tell really good, complex stories. And I'm not saying that Bull Durham isn't. I just haven't, come back to that one. If I'd watched that a few more times, maybe that would have made the list. But and I also, I went out of my way to try and, pick things that might not be picked by you guys. And I figured that one might end up making the cut for one of y'all. But...
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you pick football?
I had, The football movie that I had was Friday Night Lights, the Peter Berg film from 2004.
That was my number two.
Yep.
Oh, my God, you two are agreeing on two of them.
Yes.
Yep. It is, three. I think we both had Moneyball. Well, I guess you subbed in Moneyball. Friday Night Lights is absolutely incredible. It's based on like a nonfiction book by a guy named Buzz Bissinger. Yeah, the book actually was Sports Illustrated said that it was the best football book of all time. It's high school football in Texas. Everybody has either seen the movie probably or knows about the TV show. It is you know, football is life kind of a story with, you know, families that are in flux, and tells the story of this town, and also really ends up setting the stage for some of the you know, aspects of injuries and the wear and tear that players face in, you know, high school, college, onward. And yeah, I mean, the soundtrack also is absolutely incredible.
Yep.
By Explosions in the Sky, this kind of post-rock band that I'm sure Jared is into. And,
absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. One of the reasons, and I think I talked about this also the last time we all chatted, that I love that movie so much is that so many sports movies, the ending is like the team winning the big game or the state championship or districts or whatever. And I kind of get sick of that after a while. And that's not what happens. And granted, it's based on a true story, so they're sticking with that. But that's not what happens at the end of Friday Night Lights. They lose by 1 yard in the state championship. And that's
spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, it's a 15-year-old movie. I'm fine with that.
So that was our roundup of sports movies that we think might take the place of the baseball and Olympic-sized holes in everyone's lives. The end of the episode got chopped off thanks to some technical problems. Like I said in the beginning, there will be links in the show notes to where you can stream all of these as of the day the episode drops, so click on through to find them. You can subscribe to the show on Apple and Spotify and Stitcher and, you know, wherever else you listen to podcasts if you haven't already. And please leave us a nice comment wherever, and maybe even shout out your own personal top five sports movies if you want. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it and that you're all taking care of yourselves out there. And we'll see you again in a couple weeks.